The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Saturday's action. And what a Saturday we have for you as well. Domestically, racing at Ascot, Newmarket and Wetherby, where we've got the Charlie Hall Chase to look forward to. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Also a card over in Ireland at Down Royal. And of course, the Breeders' Cup coming up on the night. And we'll be live. We've got a team going through the night with you. It's Sean Quinn and James Millman on Saturday evening, covering all of the races. So something for everybody, I think it's fair to say, on Saturday and indeed Friday. But yeah, should be good. As I said, I'm Alex Dunn and I'm joined by Mick Norton. How's things, Mick?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex.
Good to hear. As I said, we've got the Charlie Hall coming up, seen by many as the real start of the jump season. I mean, everyone seems to have a different idea of when it actually starts. Some say that Chepstow last week was it. You know, some's the first Cheltenham. Our Naps table changes next Saturday. What about you? When do you think that the jumping really starts?
Myself, I think Paddy Power weekend, okay. Cheltenham or November there, and the Hennessy.
Yeah,
don't really get cracking till then, do they?
So you said
these are sort of nice. These are hors d'oeuvres, aren't they?
They are, and very tasty ones.
Absolutely.
They are, but of course, we've got the Breeders' Cup action as well. I mean, that is one of the best flat races in the world.
Absolutely, great international flavour, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got literally. I mean, it's often said you've got something for everyone.
Yeah,
this is. As something for everyone-y as you can get.
And of course, we're on,
that's a phrase.
On top of the Melbourne Cup meeting as well, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to preview one race at Wetherby, the Charlie Hall. Then we're going to look at two races at Ascot as well. But we'll start with the Charlie Hall, coming up at 3:15 from Wetherby. 3 miles and one furlong the trip. 7 runners going to post. Looks a good race, Mick. Silviniaco Conti, likely to be very, very popular at the head of affairs. Of course, won this race 2 years ago. You've got Takan Desoy next in. Menora, obviously very classy, as is Medemit. The Giant Bolster has had his critics, but you can't be argued that, you know, he's one of the most consistent chasers around right now. Then Double Ross, who this, you know, it's a big ask, but nevertheless is a nice horse. And then Wayward Prince, who you'd imagine will be outclassed, but tends to run well at Wetherby, and was second in this race.
Exactly.
Just beaten a neck last year at 50-1
by Harry Topper, who doesn't come back. It was in the 5 days, Harry Topper, but he doesn't come back to try and win it again. No, it's a fascinating, same number of runners as last year. Alex, 7 to go to post. As you say, Silviniaco Conti, he's got the highest BHA rating in the race of 174, and as you said, a former winner of this in 2012. And Noel Feely has a good record on him, you know. He's had 7 rides on him and won on 4 of them.
Hmm.
So he's got to be on the shortlist, hasn't he? We saw him finish off last season in really good style, beating Dynast in the Bedford Bowl at Aintree, suggesting that he was as good as ever. And this is a great starting point for him. He's won after a break, and he's got plenty of ticks in plenty of boxes, Silviniaco Conti.
And he has shown a fondness for Wetherby in the past, if you like.
Yep.
I mean, for all at Wetherby's a pretty straightforward track. If you've got course form there, it can only help.
Absolutely. As you say, when he came here and won this In 2012, he beat Wayward Prince.
Yeah.
In that by 11 lengths, and he was on his best behaviour that day. He was ridden by Ruby on that occasion, but it's no big deal. Noel back on him, who does know him really well, so he's a worthy favourite, I think. Salvani Arco Conti. I think from an interest with the rest of the season upcoming, etc. I'm very interested to see how second season novice Tarquin de Searle goes. Mm. AP's coming up to ride him. He's had that run at
Newton Abbott.
Newton Abbott 3 weeks ago, when he was third behind Wonderful Charm and Colour Squadron. And he got hampered about halfway. He just looked a bit rusty, didn't he?
Yeah. Richard McLernan on board as well that day.
Yeah, yeah. He was sort of... Richie rode him as if he was looking after him. He sort of had him to the outer, giving him a good look at his fences. I think they'll be highly delighted with that run, Alex. And he's 4 from 7 over fences, goes very well fresh. Has had that run, I know, but I mean, he comes to hand early, is what I should be saying in the season. And may well improve again, Tarquin de Searle, for that, with that run under his belt. And I think the key thing is, he's well worth a try at this trip, I think.
Three mile one.
It's the first time he's been this far.
Yeah.
And I think at the prices, I'd take a chance on him. Because he did continue to improve, and he's only 7, isn't he? He's still got plenty of improvement still to come.
And of course, the last twice this race has gone to a 6-year-old, one of the younger horses, obviously. So Sylvain Arco Conti 2 years ago, Harry Topper last year, and Tekken de Soy is the youngest horse in it at 7. The Giant Bolster, obviously a lot of form tied in with Sylvain Arco Conti, not least the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Well, that's right. I mean, he mixes it with the best. Week in, week out, doesn't he, the Giant Bolster? Wins sort of in his turn a bit, doesn't he?
Mm. Does tend to clout the odd one on the way around as well. And I think with Jason Maguire on board, Maguire's obviously very aggressive as a jockey. I can see him either pinging every single fence and being foot perfect, or clouting one or two as he gets a bit weary and Maguire's asking him for a big effort.
Yeah. I mean, he ran another blinder in the Gold Cup this year in that blanket finish. Only, beaten less than a length, wasn't he, in that five-way go, whatever it was. And he deserves to be up there as well on the shortlist, doesn't he, the Giant Bolster, because he always performs on the big stage, doesn't he?
We still haven't spoken about Menorah Mick.
Well, exactly. I was about to come to him. Rated 169 at his best. And this time last year, Menorah. He did disappoint at the entry in Cheltenham Festivals, but never looked right, did he, last spring? But they seemed to bounce back. He sort of bounced back from those disappointing efforts with a win on the flat. So that had done his confidence good. Then he went away for his break. And, Philip Hobbs, with a horse with a similar profile, wishful thinking, showed that... how well their horses are with a scintillating performance in the All Roan Chase. And we know Menorah's good enough to mix it with the best, don't we? And
the Hobbs team have started in rampant form.
Just absolutely, absolutely fantastic form. And, I mean, we know that, I mean, at his best, he's in the top five out there, isn't he? And top five or six out there. And he's... with their team in such good form and the memories of Wishful Thinking's performance at Aintree, you wouldn't be at all surprised if Menorah came and bounced back to his very best here, would you?
And Wayward Prince, second in this race the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Can he go one better? Can he get second again? It would still be a pretty admirable performance. Dougie Costello takes the ride.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? I just get a feeling that... I mean, he does find... He's just winning his turn, but he just finds winning difficult, doesn't he? You know, he's won one of about his last 12 or something like that. And I do think this is going to be quite a tough one this year.
Okay.
So I would think Wayward Prince might struggle. But as you say, he does like this race and he invariably turns up.
Yeah, like to go off about 25-1 as well.
Exactly.
So you could do worse. If there were eight runners, you know, it would have a fairly nice each way field to it.
He had a run when he came into this last year when he just got beaten by Harry Topper. He'd had a run 3 weeks before. But the year before that, when he was second to Silvania Conti, all being beaten at a respectable distance, that was after a 259 break, which he's had a 200-plus day break for this. So it's immaterial to him. But he'll run a solid race as he usually does. But I do think there might be just a bit more to this year than meets the eye.
Okay, a fantastic racing prospect then, the Charlie Hall coming up, 3:15 on Saturday, and we're going to side with
Tacken de Searle.
Okay, for John
with
Joe.
With his proven fitness.
John Joe and AP, and of course you'll hear from AP McCoy tomorrow morning as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what AP makes of him.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to go to Ascot then for two races there. We're going to jump back in time 15 minutes and preview the 3 o'clock. It's the William Hill Handicap Hurdle, a listed contest over 2 miles. 11 runners going to post for this one. Interesting to see right at the top there, heading the weights by a stone. Get me out of here. Richie McLennan obviously riding, as AP is up at Wetherby. I don't, blatantly obvious that he is the best horse in the race on previous bits and pieces of form, and of course was in really good form when second at Cheltenham at the Coral Cup, the festival, beaten just a short head by Whisper. He's still got plenty going for him, hasn't he? Although he does have a monster weight to carry here and a layoff.
The trouble is, Alex, that since his last win, which was October 2012, his marks hardly, well, it has eased a bit, but it's suddenly started
only
to go back
5 pounds.
It's suddenly started to go back up again for those recent seconds. So he's back into the 150s again. That just would worry me slightly. In what looks a very competitive renewal of this, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I mean, we've got representatives from the Hobbs team that we already talked about in Mountain King, who's already had the run as well, so we'll be looking fresh. I mean, you've got Nicky Henderson's got a couple in Lauder Tree and Sign of a Victory, two horses with very different profiles, but both have chances. Laser Blaze is a horse in form. Dowellan, of course, another Henderson runner there down at the bottom. Plenty of very, very interesting contenders here.
Equally as importantly, Alex, we've got a big weight range, 11, 12 to 10 stone, nearly 2 stone weight range, whereas some of these handicaps are compressed and the top weights are only given 8, 10 pounds away, but this one isn't.
All horses in the handicap apart from the bottom one, Verano.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, how I saw it was, I'll start with Sign of a Victory, made good progress as a novice hurdler last term, and this former dual bumper winner only tasted defeat on his third and final start at Ayr. A mark of 139 doesn't look like a gimme, but at the same time he's visually exciting with every prospect of plenty more to come, and with Get Me Out of Here compressing the weights, 10 stone 12 Barry Geraghty on board, I think he's going to be very popular and he could well prove very hard to beat. Mountain King represents Philip Hobbs, Tom O'Brien taking the ride, Dickie Johnson at Wetherby. A stable in scintillating forms, the Hobbs team, as is his rider, Tom O'Brien.
I do think he's really underrated, Tom O'Brien.
Yeah, well, he's in Dickie Johnson's shadow a bit.
Yeah.
But basically, they share the rides, don't they? I mean, I know maybe on the pecking order, Johnson will be number one, but
He never seems to do much wrong, Tom O'Brien.
No.
He has his horse in the right place. You know, he's never overconfident or anything. I think he's a really underrated jockey.
Well, I was watching a race the other day, and I couldn't make my mind up if it was Geraghty or not, because I'd got a paper in front of me.
Yeah.
I was just watching it, sort of, and it was Tom O'Brien. Mm. I was very impressed with
stylish.
It. Yes, absolutely. His excellent reappearance run at Cheltenham, finishing fourth of 13 in that conditional jockeys race, and he should give it his best shot, I think, to retain his unbeaten Ascot record. He won his novice at Ascot, and he could be very hard to beat. Laser Blazer on the four timer. His mark's risen from 112 in July to 132 today, but He's up from Class 3 to Class 1 from an £8 higher mark. That might leave him vulnerable, although Tom Bellamy's £5 claim will help. It puts him right on the ceiling of 10 stone. So you can't rule him out.
Strange contest. I mean, I remember that one running a Class 7 at Kempton a couple of years back?
Yeah.
And not winning when favourite, I think.
Yeah.
But then some of these horses, you know, just need a change of scenery, as this one's had, and he's in great form.
Yeah. I think, all in all, I'm just going to leave it to Mountain King, who's had the run, and he did win his novice here, so we know Ascot suits.
Okay. No, hopefully another win there for the Hobbs team in the William Hill Handicap Hurdle at 3 o'clock at Ascot. The final race that we're going to look at is the 3:35 from Ascot. It is the United House Gold Cup Handicap Chase, a Grade 3 contest over 3 miles.
None of your compressed handicap here again. We've got, you know, a nearly 2 stone weight range again.
We've got some very interesting contenders as well. You've got the quirky types, if you like, the likes of Cantlow and Vino Grego, who do get their head in front every now and again, but at the same time are prone to just completely and utterly sulking. They both return from absences. You've got old favourites like Restless Harry. You've got new faces, at least chasing ranks, like Gervais Chambertin. Rualco de Farge, of course, won last time. Again, trained by Philip Hobbs, ridden by Tom O'Brien, so you couldn't rule that one out. You've got Mary King, who always pops up in these kind of races. It's a fascinating race, Mick.
We've got an Irish Raider as well, and we mustn't dismiss Past the Hat, who he's got to be respected. Arthur Moore doesn't send that many over. And David Casey gets on well with this horse. He was so narrowly denied by Your Busy in the Kerry National. And he was well fancied to make amends in a small field in Limerick next time, and was just lobbing along on the bridle, and for some reason got it the four out completely wrong and ended up capsizing. It looked a bit of a penalty kick for him that day, and he was still on the bridle when falling four from home, and I think he's got a huge chance Past the Hat. We know he's fit and we know he's well, and I'd give him a great chance, but it's not an easy one, because there are plenty here who you could give chances to, and the trouble is as well that Past the Hat's he's got to race off 1-4-3 here, hasn't he? And he paid the price for that narrow defeat at in Listowel. 1-3-4 he ran off there.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they do bump the Irish horses up when they come over here anyway, but he's got to go and do it off 1-4-3 now, which is going into unknown territory for him.
Okay, what about Gervais Chambertin? Scored on chase debut, on seasonal reappearance at Bangor. As shown, obviously that was first time out, won first time out last year as well at Haydock over the fixed brush hurdles, then went on to struggle in the RSA chase, and before that the RSA trial at Ascot. Didn't look an absolute natural to the chasing game last year, but, you know, won well enough, although it was a nothing race at Bangor, has had the pipe opener, and could you be backing it here, or is it a wait and see? I mean, it could win by you know, well, length.
It's a typical pipe conundrum, isn't it? He's got in off 1-3-9, 10-10 on his back, got the win under his belt, we know he's fitting well, and you're either with him, or you'll probably be again him. He's not really a set on the fence horse, is he? That would be the worry for me. I'd tend to overlook him in a race as competitive as this.
Okay.
I haven't put him on my shortlist, but he's only six, and his world could still be in front of him, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'm not dismissing him, but he just hasn't made my shortlist. I'll go through. I've already mentioned one of them, Past the Hat. My concern is he's got to go and do it in the 140s now, which he hasn't been asked to do before. So that is a concern. You mentioned Rualco de Farge. He's made the shortlist. He represents a Philip Hobbs, Tom O'Brien combo. Comes here with his confidence sky high after his win at Cheltenham at the October meeting. The £8 mark makes life tougher, but his proven fitness, stamina and well-being are all positives, and with every likelihood of more to come. But I'm going to take a chance on Lebec, trained by Emma Lavelle, Leighton Aspel taking the ride. He's only six, this horse, and he makes his handicap debut here off 1-4-9 on his reappearance. He's got an excellent record first time up. Emma Lavelle had five winners and numerous places in October, so it looks as though this team are well forward. So Levesque should be forward enough to play a big part, especially with his good record first time up. And he was in the process of running a big race in the RSA at the festival when falling four from home. And if he hadn't fallen, big ifs all round, I know, he might not have been here with a mark of 149. It might be more like 159. So he might be a well-handicapped horse.
Okay.
We shall see.
Yeah.
We'll learn a lot after Saturday. But for the time being, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and the vote.
OK, fair enough. Levesque the pick then. In the United House Gold Cup.
But we know an awful lot more on Saturday night than we do now, Alex.
That's very true, Mick. That is very, very true. Can you just spin us through your three picks then? The first in the Charlie Hall and then in the two races at Ascot.
Yeah, I'm going with second season novice Chakra de Cerlo, a horse who I really do like. And I'll be fascinated to see what AP makes of his chances when we do our podcast with him on Saturday morning. In the 3 o'clock at Ascot, the William Hill Handicap Hurdle, I'm going for the Inform Philip Hobbs Tom O'Brien combination to land another big Saturday pot with Mountain King, who ran a blinder on his reappearance 2 weeks ago at Cheltenham and broke his maiden over hurdles here at Ascot. And in the 3 mile United House Gold Cup Handicap Chase, I'm going for Levesque to continue his progress over fences at the age of six. Excellent record first time out. And I think that mark of 149 might underestimate him.
OK, fair enough, Mick. Promises to be a superb day on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Enjoy all of the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.